In jazz, the soloist is king. Musicians such as John Coltrane or Miles Davis could play long, complex passages on their instruments, all entirely improvised. But what is actually going on in the mind of a musician engaged in an act of pure creation? That's what Dr. Charles Lim wanted to know. He's an otolaryngologist. That's an ear, nose, and throat specialist. He works at Johns Hopkins. He's also a musician, and a few years ago, he decided to find out what makes a jazz artist tick. So he devised a simple experiment.
Essentially, it was my asking a question that I've always wondered about, which is what's taking place in the brain when a jazz musician improvises. You know, I'm a saxophonist, and I've improvised a lot in my life, and it always has a certain automaticity to it, yet as it's taking place, you can kind of stop and question yourself and think, wow, how am I doing this? Or where is this music coming from? And when you listen to recordings of the great players, the questions are even more astounding. It's like, wow, how did John Coltrane do that? The time that I set out to do that study, there was really no literature in the scientific field to go and base hypotheses on. There was just no work done in that area. And so I was like, well, we can just try it.
Lim planned to have jazz musicians improvise music while a device called an fMRI scanner measured the activity in their brains. This was not simple. The scanner uses huge, powerful magnets. Because metal objects interfere with a strong magnetic field, Lim had to design and fabricate a small plastic keyboard. That took 2 years. Then he had to find musicians, all right-handed piano players with no history of neurological problems. The subjects had to lie on their backs and remain perfectly still inside an MRI machine, playing the keyboard on their laps.
When I had my first jazz musician, these are fantastic players, in there playing on this piano, we were recording him improvising, I just sort of stepped back and thought, my God, this is actually working.
First, the subjects played a piece of music they had memorized, a simple 12-bar blues tune that Lim had composed himself. Then he asked the musicians to improvise over that same accompaniment. During improvisation, the medial part of the brain's prefrontal cortex became very active. This is the region of the brain involved in self-expression, the one that's used for things like autobiographical storytelling. The lateral part of the prefrontal cortex, the side used for self-regulating and inhibiting behavior, became very quiet.
The way we interpret it is that might be one of the neural signatures of spontaneous creativity.
Creativity that could take many forms. Lim is now designing a series of follow-up experiments to study what he calls the neural substrates of creativity. He might have two musicians trading fours. That's when two soloists play four measures at a time back and forth in a kind of a musical conversation. He's also going to try the experiment with rappers, who will freestyle improvised verses over a musical track.
Look at other artistic domains. You know, what about visual arts? What about, pretty much every art form has its sort of analogous parallels to music. And so we can look at what it's like for someone to didactically copy a painting versus do an abstract rendition of it out of their head with no reference point, something like that. There's a lot of ways to get at creativity in an fMRI setting.
But why? Lim isn't exactly sure where this is all going. But he thinks that studying spontaneous creativity might have broad implications.
Creativity is an essential feature, not just of music or not just of art, but of human behavior and of adaptation and learning and progress, meaning that human civilization just would not be what it is today without creativity. And so if we sort of step